God's word is alive and active, and it performs its work in our heart. We don't fully understand it, but God, the Holy Spirit, uses his word to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus. He uses his word to comfort us. It's the word of comfort. He uses the word to guide us and encourage us. He uses the word to shed light on the pathway of life. It does its work in those who believe. Now, Hebrews has warned us, it does no good to those who do not listen to it. If it's not united by faith in those who hear, merely hearing it doesn't do any good.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series from the book of Hebrews. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, The God with Whom We Have to Do. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
He sees right through barriers that we think hinder his sight. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart are fully his. God's eyes and man's heart are tied together. God's vision and the very state of my being are tied together in Scripture. The eyes of the Lord can see right into your heart. Now, I said that brings great joy to one who has found Christ, to one who has trusted Jesus. But Hebrews is warning that there are many who were turning back, they'd made some sort of a profession, but they were turning away from the Lord Jesus. And that was happening in the first century. It's still happening in the 21st century. Now, the eyes of the Lord, seeing your heart, is an object of terror. If you're trying to clean your own heart up and live your own way and you're denying the very word of God that verse 12 speaks of, I think of the apostasy going on in evangelicalism today in different corners where people are beginning to throw out portions of God's word and just take what they like and invent their own God. A God that they think they can deal with. And I say, no, the God with whom you have to deal, the God with whom you do business is the God of the Scripture. The God of the Scripture. Look at verse 12 and look at the amazing description he gives here. We don't have to wonder what God is looking for. We don't have to wonder what God's heart is like. He has written it down. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let's just pause and think about it. The Word of God is alive. It's living. Zoe is the word behind this. We get our word zoo. All the living creatures at the zoo are zoology. Zoe, God's Word, is alive. It's a direct expression of the living God. All Scripture is what? Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is the very breath of God. God breathed. And because of that, and we translate it, all Scripture is inspired, and that's a good translation, but remember, it's not just inspiring, it's the very breath of God. So when I pick up my Bible, I have a window into the very heart of God. What's he like? What's he looking for? The Word of God is living. Have you noticed that? In comparison to all other books, the Word of God is alive. And in one sense, in comparison to all other literature, we would say, these others are dead. Now, I've been helped by many books, and I'm not criticizing, you know, reading man's word, but I'm saying, in comparison, don't let man's word be your final guide. The Word of God is living, and in fact, it's life-giving. The very words that I speak to you, Jesus said in John 6, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. verse 63. Have you noticed that? Sometimes just meditating on one phrase, you learn. And God's truth, the living Word of God, does its work in your heart. And actually, your life began that way, Christian. If you've been born into God's family, Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:23, we've been born again. Not with seed which is perishable, but imperishable. Now, he doesn't leave us to wonder. I'm quoting verse 23 of 1 Peter 1. He says, the word of God, you've been born again of not a perishable seed, but an imperishable seed. That is, he explains, the living and abiding word of God. The Holy Spirit takes the very word of God and he gives life. He causes the new birth. James puts it in James 1, verse 18, he has brought us forth by the word of truth. The old King James said, he begat us. People used to kid about all the begats and the but you know, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, and you just think, oh, why did he write this down? Well, he was saying, who came from who? What happened? And the birth, he brought us forth by the word of truth. New International just says, he chose to give us life through his word. He chose to give us birth through his word. The word of God is living. And then notice the next word, active, active. Energes, we get our word energize or energetic or energy. God's word is not only alive, but it gives energy. It's active. Do you feel down, kind of worn out? Do you lack spiritual stamina? I often find that I get revived when I'm at one of those points by just opening God's word and listening to it. It's energizing. Are you saying, I make resolution that I don't follow through and I struggle with, I lose interest, I lose drive. I ask you, what kind of time are you getting in God's word? The word of God is living and active. Let it do its work. I was asked when I was a young man, in fact, it was humbling. Every day at seminary, we had chapel. And it was a rich time because different men of God throughout the seminary faculty and throughout the country would be there for lecturing and whatever. And so we had great opportunity to hear God's word on a daily basis, the chapel. I was asked to speak my senior year to the chapel. And the faculty were there. It was intimidating. And the student body and anybody visiting, it was. And I thought, what will I speak on? And, you know, you had, I think it was 20 minutes or whatever. And I remember turning in my mind and in that time to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. And my whole message was basically that God's word is alive and active, and it performs its work in our heart. We don't fully understand it, but God, the Holy Spirit, uses his word to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus. And so Jesus prayed, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. He uses his word to comfort us. It's the word of comfort. He uses the word to guide us and encourage us. He uses the word to shed light on the pathway of life. it does its work in those who believe. Now, Hebrews has warned us, it does no good to those who do not listen to it. If it's not united by faith in those who hear, merely hearing it doesn't do you any good. But when you take him at his word and listen and internalize his word, he works. He works. It's an active word of God. And then notice the next phrase, because it's so picturesque. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. It's a sharp and piercing sword, like a two-edged sword. God's word cuts right through the fog and the confusion of my life and gets right to the truth. And it's called in Ephesians, he calls it the sword of the Spirit. It's the Spirit's means, his way of speaking to us, his way of correcting us, his way of getting our heart's attention. He uses his two-edged sword. And today, in our world, and sadly, in the church at large, often people are in confusion and wondering what God is like and what does he really want? And there's so many voices speaking for God, it seems. Oh, I plead with you, get into his word. And his word is a sharp two-edged sword, cuts right through the confusion. And the simplest, youngest child in Christ can grow in his knowledge of God because God has given us his word. And he's underwritten every word with his character. His word has been magnified according to his name, Psalm 138 says. It's like he vested every word, every page he's initialed. I was dealing with a bank, you know, recently, and I saw the pages, and each page you have to initial. You know how that is? When you bought your first house, you signed twice. When you bought your next house, you signed 17 times. You know how it is? It's proliferating. The times you have to agree to and sign off an initial. Well, God didn't just say, you can know one thing here. He wrote every page of the book, and he underwrites it, so to speak. He initials every page. He signed off on it. It's his very word, the sharp, two-edged sword. And I think we all understand that picture, a two-edged sword. But, you know, it isn't the only one the Bible uses. Jeremiah says his word is like a hammer which shatters a rock. Jesus said it's like bread. Think of all the analogies. You can't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. David said it's like honey, sweeter than honey. It's like gold. It's better than gold, Psalm 19. It's like a lamp. Stumbling around in the dark, not knowing which way to go, but you've got a lantern. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119:105. But don't leave it there. Notice, the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is kritikos. We get our word critique. It's discerning. It's able to judge the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. God isn't wondering about what's going on in your heart. He knows, and he has given us a frame of reference. He's given us his word. And so he calls it, he says it's like a mirror. When you and I open his word, he says, don't be like the guy that looks in the mirror and then forgets what he saw and just moves on. It's like a mirror. And so we see the very heart of God and we see our own condition. We see the two things that his word brings together, his vision and our state. And we learn about his son. The word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword and able to judge it. This word critique, there's a whole family of words behind that word that you can kind of go around, and the word judgment, krisis, and you can hear the word crisis. There's coming a point when things will be sorted out. We'll stand before the living God. And we don't have to wonder what that day will be like. He's given us his word. So we can let the word of God sort our life out right now. Daily, Christian, you can hear from him. And sometimes it's cutting and it's piercing. And sometimes we're tempted to set it aside. But I tell you, no, let it do its work in your heart and in your life. What's his criterion? These words all come from this family of words. It is able to judge. Now, interestingly enough, five times in the book of Revelation, Jesus is described as the one who has a sharp, two-edged sword coming from his mouth. Chapter 1, chapter 2, two times it said, the one who has a sharp, two-edged sword in his mouth. Jesus' words are the very word of God. And when he comes back in chapter 19 on the white horse, the two-edged sword is coming from his mouth. Hebrews' whole point is to push us toward Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. Listen to him. Consider him. Don't turn loose of him. Be diligent to make sure you've entered into Christ, because the word of God tells us these things very, very clearly. Turn over to John 12. I want us to look at a couple of, you know, I was thinking of the parallel between Hebrews and John. John 12 is kind of the summary at the end of chapter 12. Jesus' life is finished. I mean, in the sense that we've seen him acting among men. And from here on now, 13 through 21, it's just his last time with his own. And so John really amplifies that. But before he does, he gives kind of a summary statement of what he's been after. And of course, John is very parallel to Hebrews. They're both very parallel to the whole Word of God. John begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. It's all about Jesus. Hebrews is all about Jesus. But here's Jesus' statement, verse 47. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. Don't ever let anyone drive a wedge between Jesus and his word. All I really know of God is what I know of Jesus, and all I really know of Jesus is what he's revealed to me in his word. Now, I have personal experience with him, and you do too if you know him, and there's this joy of the Holy Spirit ministering within us, but he never contradicts himself. And so Jesus said, you know, I don't have to judge. I'll tell you what'll judge you. My words. I didn't come to judge. I came to save. And I am so thankful, aren't you, that that's what he said? And he said that back in chapter 3. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. If today you're thinking, oh, you're telling me, Gilchrist, that God knows everything about me? He knows my heart. He knows my intentions. He knows my motivations. He can discern all that. I say, yeah. And if you're outside of Christ, that just causes you to tremble and fear. But this God who knows everything about you sent his son to die for you and rise again on your behalf, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but has eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That world includes you and me. God wants you to enter into his rest and bask in Christ. And as a believer, he wants you to grow in Christ and fix your eyes on him. And so he writes whole books like John and like Hebrews, just constantly drawing our attention back to his Son. Today, if you're hearing his voice, don't harden your heart. You're here and you're not sure he's your Savior, embrace him. Confess your sin to him. Admit that you're a sinner and bask in his forgiveness. He died for you and rose again, conquered your sin. And if you're a believer, if you know him, but you've grown kind of lackadaisical, oh, enjoy his word. Let his word prime you each day to just kind of come back to seeing who he is. Ask his Holy Spirit to use the sword of the Spirit in your life to draw you close to him, that you might enjoy him and be fruitful for his glory. Father, we praise you that your word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we rejoice that you've expressed your heart through your word. It comes from your mouth, but you said clearly, whatever comes from the mouth comes from the heart. And so when we read this book, we see that you saw us with all our sin and you provided a Savior. Oh, we don't ever want to get over it, Lord. And I pray that even this morning as we've looked at this and pondered this, that our appreciation of you will grow, and our love for you, and our knowledge of you. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has yet to embrace you, to trust you as Savior, give them no rest until they rest in Jesus. Open the eyes of their heart to the beauty of your Son and what he did for us. Oh, we praise you and we will praise you throughout eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, The God With Whom We Have To Do, a message from our series in the book of Hebrews. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. This year, we're doing many things differently than before. Nearly all of us, it seems, have switched over to online resources, whether that be simply more time listening to the radio or worshiping online through live streams. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station, and we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. Something we've been making available as a thank you gift to our listeners are USB flash drives loaded with Bible teaching series in their entirety. So currently, we're offering the entire book of Exodus. That's 52 full-length messages, over 30 hours of clear, Christ-centered Bible teaching on this important book in the Old Testament. We'd like to make these teachings available to you, our listeners. Just make your request along with your gift of any size to the Ministry of Downtown Bible. You can do that during regular business hours by calling 503-524-7000. Or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon 97280. You can also simply click Contact Us at downtownbible.org anytime. We'd love to put one of these valuable resources in your hands. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
The underlying motive of the whole Christian experience is right there. We have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. And notice, he mentions it. He passed through the heavens. We're not waiting for him to get there. We're not wondering if God's going to be able to pull this off. Jesus Christ bore my sins in his body, my guilt, my shame. He bore that in his body. And God was satisfied.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Hebrews. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Jesus, Our Sympathetic High Priest. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.